Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach. Dave Dobenmeyer.
Oh, sometimes that's the I don't use the word curse. The dilemma of being me. Welcome this morning, September 4th, 2017. Not moaning and groaning and complaining, but sometimes the dilemma of being me. I don't know about you guys. Here in Ohio, it started raining at about 1 o'clock last night, and it rained. I was ready to go get a boat. It finally quit about 6 o'clock this morning. It rained and it rained and it rained. I went to the, I jumped on the internet, I always go to IntelliCast. It's a good weather site, just facts. And I went to IntelliCast and I looked why, and well, it was the remnants of Hurricane Harvey that was passing over the top of us. And it rained for 5 hours. And I'm thinking, I can't even imagine what those people must have been through down there. Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. Welcome this morning. Golly, a lot of stuff going on, a lot of stuff I want to be able to share with you today. You know, I keep upsetting apple carts. Hey, Dylan, I see your brother's getting married. Roger's son's engaged. So, Roger, congratulations out there, the son's engaged. I saw that on the internet today.
Begins.
I keep goring sacred oxes. I don't do it on purpose. I swear I don't. And I'm not trying to be contentious, or I don't want to always be one of those guys that always sees the dark side of it, because I have to tell you, I'm my mom always called me a cockeyed optimist. When I was coaching, we were either scoring or getting ready to score. The other team was either fumbling or getting ready to fumble. The old adage, I think it was Leo DeRocher, said to his baseball team, Leo the Lip, he said, keep it close, I'll think of something. That's kind of my philosophy. Keep it close, I'll think of something. So I'm an extreme optimist, okay? I'm an extreme optimist. Some of you listening right now say, you sure don't sound like it. I know. I know. In my life, I'm an optimist. But also, I'm a realist. And in my life, I'm an optimist. When I get on this show, I'm a realist. And as much as sometimes I don't want to do it, I try to bring to the table stuff that bugs people. That happened yesterday, by the way. I got some emails. I want to pause a second. I took our family, my wife and I, we went to Columbus Zoo yesterday. It's Labor Day. Took our grandkids. We didn't do it alone. Took my daughter and her husband. And we went to the water park there. And what a precious time to be with family. And I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty. Man, if you don't have grandkids, you're not in a relationship with grandkids, you're just missing life. Oh, man. Oh, man. I watched my little grandson. Scared to get in the little wading pool. He was two in July. Towards the end of the day, on his own, he would run back in the water and climb up a little slide and go down the slide by himself. It's just everything is so new. Everything is so new. It's exciting. So I just thank God I had that opportunity to be able to do that yesterday. It should be that way for us too. The gospel shouldn't be stale. It shouldn't be stale. Somebody say amen. The gospel becomes stale.
That's true.
The church is full of stale Christians.
Amen.
Comfortable Christians. Maybe not by their choice. I mean, I don't know. This is a heck of a thing to point out, but here's the truth. That's why some men are adulterers. Because even though they have a wonderful wife at home, the thrill of a different flesh captivates them. And we walk into church. And even though we're in church with our there with our comfortable family and everything's comfortable about us, our religion has become so stale that we're looking for excitement. Anybody following me but me? Sometimes I feel like I'm just talking to me. Is anybody out there following but me but me?
I agree with that.
And here's what's happened to me. It's just the truth. My faith has grown so deeply by investigating things. You ready? That they warned me that I shouldn't. When I got down into some of those rabbit holes, when I dug down into those places that everybody tells me that I shouldn't go, man, oh man, oh man, did my faith come alive. So I try every day to bring stuff to you, and I'm not here to convince you of anything. And you don't have to agree with me. It's all fine, it's all well, and it's all good. Man, the Bible tells us that we see dimly now. We see through a veil right now. And sometimes I say, Lord, can you pull that veil back a little bit? I'd like to peek in there a little. And that's been going on in my life. Awesome. Awesome to be in that condition. Hey, we got some great things going on down in the Houston
Texas
area. Down in Texas. Thank you, Chad. I don't want to get bogged down. Chad, give us a little bit of an update. We had a conference call last night. Our fundraising efforts are going fantabulously. I don't even know if that's a word. We've crossed now over probably the $70,000 mark.
Amen.
That makes you gasp, doesn't it? Think that corny coach can pull in that kind of money? Well, yeah, we are. It's really nothing. Absolutely nothing. But we're doing great stuff with that $70,000. I'm going to do more great stuff with that $70,000. And that's all, again, I'm going to talk to you about Irma here in a second. The devastation, the long range building of Texas may never get done. Chad, what's going on down there, man?
Well, we're still on track for our initial weekend coming up here. We'll go down there. We're going to meet all the people that I've been talking to on the phone.
I'm flying in with Chad, folks. I'm flying into Texas this weekend, so that's why I said we've scheduled this event. Go ahead, Chad. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's all right. And we're going to see all the facilities and all the different locations and stuff that where we can send some crews at, and that kind of stuff like that. So, all the networking we've been doing by phone, I'll be able to meet these people now. We'll be able to backslap and handshake, and we'll make some solid connections here that we can continue on week after week after week until either the money dries up or the volunteers quit, whichever, however it goes.
Chad and Ray Gaino, trying really hard to make connections on the ground so that if we have other people who want to go down, we have a place for them to go. And we know as this thing progresses, even though people are going to forget about it to the degree, there are a lot of people going to want to go down to help. And one of our jobs is going to be to try to keep the awareness up so people do continue to go down there. And we want to see on September 21st and then September 28th and then that next one should be probably November 5th or 6th, whatever it would be. We want to continue to see crews going in down there to help because the need is just—it's just going to be there. It just isn't going to go away. So our dilemma right now is now that we have the finances, where do we plug it? How do we plug it in? We want some in there now. We've invested about $20,000 already down in there.
Amen.
A lot ahead
Thank
of
you,
us.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. With a lot ahead of us. So I just thank all of you out there who trust us and continue to donate to our cause. And again, when nobody's making a salary, I make a salary here at Past the Salt Ministry. I don't make any money off of this. I don't make any money off of any of this money coming in. This is all money that's just going to go out. We'll get it in the hands of people that need it. Sarge, you got anything to add there before I dive back into where I was heading, before I stop myself?
No, just check our website. We're doing daily updates on what's happening. And if you know people who are interested in donating, they can see the actions that we're doing and making sure that we're being good stewards of the funds. And we want volunteers to really look at the out weekends, because once we get on the ground, it's going to be every weekend. We're going to be doing something. We might be transferring from feeding to construction, gutting, and putting sheetrock up, but point is, we're going to be sending crews down every week.
And how about this? I see Big Rich is with us this morning. I gave Big Rich a duty. Rich has got a portable cooker, big grill, and all that kind of stuff. And Rich has volunteered to bring that down. He went out, bought 1,000 pounds of, he called it pork butt, whatever that means. And he's going to smoke it. And so, Rich, that's probably what, 4,000 meals that you're going to come down there with? Is that what you're looking at?
That's probably, it shrinks, so probably 2,500, somewhere there.
Okay.
But we'll get more, I guess, when we get down there.
Yeah, we'll figure out a way. If we got to go to the grocery store and get hamburgers, we're there to put that on. So, folks, listen, let me throw this out, and then we'll move on. We'd love for you, those of you listening to us right now, we'd love you to go to your local church or your whoever you hang out with, get a crew together, and we'll give you a place to go and stay. Just get a crew, and we'll find you a place to go. We'll plug you in, because this is going to be ongoing relief efforts. So you say, you know, I'd really like to go, Coach, but I can't go on the 21st. Okay, can you go November 5th? Well, start working towards that date, and we're going to try to set you up. I've had great guys on the ground have been great. Ray and Chad and Dale Stosha and Josh and the whole crew has been absolutely fantastic. Anybody want to throw anything here into the pot before we move on?
Yeah, I talked with Chris Keys yesterday. I don't know if you got my message to give him a call.
I did. This morning.
Yeah, well, I'm going to call him back, because if I can get out, I'm going down tomorrow. They have fed nearly 1,000 people in the past few days, which is, you know, for the little handful of people he has, he's in a good position. He's actually still rescued people. He's still in that position. They had one of their trucks get flooded out. It kind of was driving down the road, and it was a big 4x4 truck, and it hit a ditch, and it went into hit a water hole, and it was 4 feet of water. So they had to pull that thing out, and bless their hearts, they must be mechanically inclined to pull that engine block out to drain the water out of the engine or whatever. So I know he had to head back home, but I think he's going back today over there, and hopefully I can connect up with him. You know, I got own issues at my house here with my mom in the hospital, and my AC out, my truck, my van's down, my truck. You know, bro, when it rains, it pours. But, you know, my objective is to connect with Chris, because I know that was kind of, everybody was wondering what was going on. Chris is doing the ministry, and he's very grateful, and they're having a great response from the locals who are able to work. They're out there doing the work too.
So hey, listen, Dale, to this. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, I just want to say, Dale, that my wife and I years ago have learned, and we still operate in this, anytime circumstances start stacking up against us like that, as soon as we recognize it, the first thing we do is we start planning a victory party with our brothers and sisters in Christ, because we know there's a victory coming.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey, brother, this is the least of my.
Yeah, Dale, I pray for Dale, but I ain't worried about Dale. That's for sure.
Thank you, Coach. We know each other, right, brother? We're cut from the same loincloth.
That's right, baby. Hey, if there's no opposition, it ain't even a game, right? It ain't. You don't win if there's no opposition. That's a forfeit. So we know there's going to be opposition. I want to share this. Get this email from. Actually, I think Chad forwarded this to everybody. So anybody out there listening who's not going to go with us, but you may be organizing your own trip, this is important. Stay with me here just a second, okay? This is from Randy Anderson, who's coordinating some of it. Here's what he said. There's no shortage of volunteers. He's talking about now about Rockport. No shortage of volunteers. They're handing out hot meals, water, cleaning agents, pet food, free lumber, pet food. Think of that. Ice. It's a blessing to see so many people helping. It is very apparent that the shortage of volunteers needed are general labor. They need general labor. Cleanup, skilled laborers is also needed. For example, fallen trees that need to be removed and cut up. Demolition of partially fallen sheds and homes. roofing repairs or temporary roofing repairs with tarps, yard mowing to control insects and mosquito problems. Fire ants are also in full force. The mosquitoes are in stagnant water is quite unbearable. We had to reapply mosquito repellent every 30 minutes. Think of that. The humidity and heat made the conditions almost unbearable. I can't even imagine. There is a gas shortage that seems to be improving. Many of these people are using generators, so gas is gold. Holding 5-gallon cans of gas on water is really a welcome task. There are many older retired folks that do not have family or resources to have skilled trade professionals. Here's my recommendation towards moving forward. And it gives a whole list of stuff. Tow straps, 4x4 trucks, wheelbarrows, trade tools, work gloves, rubber boots, generators, ant poison, mosquito repellent, lumber, drills, extension cords, roofing material, plastic containers, 5-gallon buckets, contract bags, bleach, hardware, screws, nails. No clothes. You're not hearing clothes. Okay. Don't send clothes. Please don't send clothes. There's no place to, don't go clean out your closet and think you're doing a good thing. Okay. So that's just kind of a, man, oh man, I'm excited to get down there this weekend and just see what's going on. But here's, I'm in the Luke, I'm good to Luke 13 for me. Will you, Jared? And then I want to tell a little story. Is it okay, guys, if I just kind of go where the Lord takes me? I want to talk about the unholy Trinity. But I can't, I got to camp here first, okay? When we were down at Hurricane Rita, now for those of you who don't remember, Hurricane Katrina hit 12 years ago. Rita hit 2 weeks later. What's the name? Hurricane Katrina hit in New Orleans, as those folks down there say. Actually, St. Louis. And Rita hit farther over into Texas. So they were maybe separate by 100 miles. I'm guessing, Dale, but I think I'm doing pretty good with what's going on.
It actually hit in Rita hit Beaumont, Texas, and okay, Wilma followed after that and hit the Florida Keys.
Wow, so there you go. They come in threes. Huh? So anyway, we were down there and we were in Rita, and it was devastating, as they all were. Katrina was where all the news was because it was the biggie, but Rita was pretty devastating as well. So I was in some little border town in Texas, and we were in a church service. We'd done a lot of feeding and giving out stuff, and I was in a little church service, and somebody stood up in the middle of the church service. These people were devastated. I mean, the floodwaters had come, the wind, everything. And somebody stood up in the church service, and they said, oh, I would just like to offer praise to the Lord that all of our stuff was protected. And we're so grateful to the Lord that when we came home, it wasn't that. And I'm not, hey, you know me, I'm grateful for him too. But boy, it was like a boom right in my chest. Ooh, it didn't settle right. And I haven't. A tendency that when something doesn't settle right, those of you who know me, I want to jump up and make it right then. But I took a deep breath and I counted to 10 and I did everything that you should do. And the Holy Spirit would not leave me alone. And the Holy Spirit led me to Luke 13. I want to share that with you today because this is a question that's going on out there a lot. How can the Lord do this? How can I serve the Lord since I was 12 years old? How can he allow this to happen to me? A lot of this going on, right? A lot of it. So I'm in chapter 13 of Luke, and this is what the Holy Spirit gave me. I stood up before I read it, and I said, I want to share this with you folks. Listen, if you think that those people who lost everything, you think they're worse sinners than you, then you're going to stand up in this church, and you're going to thank God for that your stuff was protected, and I appreciate that, and I understand that as well. But how does that make a Christian feel whose stuff wasn't protected? Why did God protect your stuff, but he didn't protect their stuff? What has gone on? So we went here. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifice. Best life now, even back then. And Jesus answering and said unto them, are you kidding me? He said, do you think that these Galileans were sinners? Above all the Galileans, you think they were worse than everybody else because they suffered these things? Jesus is saying, come on, man, he says, I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you shall likewise perish. And those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, you think that they were sinners above all the other men that were there in Jerusalem? You think they got hit because they weren't as righteous as you? Is that what you think? Did I tell you? No. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Hey, boys, that's the word for today, man. It rains on the just and the unjust. It rains on both. When a storm comes blowing in here last night, the lightning's cracking at my house, and it's cracking it on down the road. It rains on the just and the unjust. And this idea that somehow those of us who carry the name of Christ are going to be protected from these natural things that are coming about as a result, I believe, of the judgment of God upon our nation. That's arrogant. It's arrogant for us to even carry that attitude around, that the Lord somehow protects. Now, I'm not saying you're not grateful when he protects you. But Bob, what about your Christian friend that he didn't protect? Boy, oh boy, there's a lot of things about the Lord that we don't know. And so I want to go here real quickly, because just because this is always the most controversial thing I ever bring up. But I'm confident Larry, Sarge, Roger, Rich, George, on down through the list, I'm telling you, I know that this is one of the most dangerous teachings in the scriptures. Are you ready for this? Boy, here come the emails. God does not love everybody. He does not love everybody. Now, his love is available to everybody. But if you think God loves the pedophile who's out there doing dirty things to little girls, and you think God loves him, well, who would want to serve a God like that? Who would, my goodness, who would want to serve a God like that? And this whole idea that I talked about yesterday of praying for our nation, well, good luck. Good luck. I'm praying for our nation. But listen, not everybody's in line with the Lord. And we have got to ask ourselves, has the deserved judgment on the scales, does that outweigh the blessings of God? The judgment that America deserves. No, they're more righteous at being able to assuage that. Now, some of you don't like what I just said. Some will give you good proof here, Jared. Let's go to our stuff here. And I'm going to show you. Jared, go down to where it says, first of all, Jared, go. It says Google search there. And right under it, does God love everyone? Then it says Google search. Click on that Google search, and I'm going to give you a challenge, and I'm not going to spend time on it today, okay? But I'm going to give you this Google search. You look at this page. You look at it. See what I Google searched at the top? Does the Bible teach that God loves everyone? Folks, we're talking about Christianity. We're talking about American Christianity. We should know this, shouldn't we? Shouldn't every Christian sitting in the church know this? God loves you, brother. No, he doesn't. Phew. Oh, there I go. His love's available. He has a general love and concern for you. He wishes that nobody would perish. He doesn't want you to. He wants you to come and be one of his children.
Amen, Coach.
But if you are not one of his children, he doesn't love you. So click. I mean, come on here. Just click on. Yeah, let's see. Let's click on fifth one down. Got question. You're going to find the same answer everywhere. Every time you click on these, you're going to find the same answer. Why do we find this as revolutionary teaching? Does God love everybody? Or does God love everyone or just Christians? The answer, there's a sense in which God loves everyone in the whole world. But this love is not conditional. It's rooted in God's character and based on the fact that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. God's love, everyone, can be thought of as his merciful love, since it's available to everyone. In the next paragraph, God's merciful love for the world is also manifested in that God gives people the opportunity to repent. The Lord is not slow in his keeping his promise. He's patient. He loves everybody, and then he offers everybody the chance to come. He has a general concern and he loves everybody in that aspect of it. Third paragraph. However, God's love for everyone does not mean that everyone will be saved. God will not ignore sin, for he's a God of justice. Sin cannot go unpunished forever. There's Bible references here. If God simply disregarded sin and allowed it to continue to wreak havoc in creation, then he would not be love. To ignore God's merciful love, to reject Christ, or to deny the Savior who brought us, is to subject ourselves to God's wrath for eternity, not his love. The love of God that justifies sinners is not extended to everyone. Only, get that out of there, only to those who have faith in Jesus Christ. The love of God that brings people into intimacy with himself is not extended to everyone, only to those who love the Son of God. This love could be thought of as God's covenant love, and is conditional, given only to those who place their faith in Jesus for salvation. Those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are loved unconditionally, secure forever. Does God love everyone? Yes, he shows mercy and kindness to all. Does God love Christians more than he loves non-Christians? No, not in regards to his merciful love, but God does love Christians in a different way than he loves non-Christians. Because believers have exercised faith in Christ's Son, they are saved. God has a unique relationship with Christians, and that only Christians have forgiveness based on God's eternal grace. The unconditional, merciful love God has for everyone should bring us to faith, receiving with gratefulness the conditional covenant love he grants those who receive Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, Jared, click back, because you can go to any one of these things on there, on this top 10 on that Google search, and they will all tell you the same thing. Now, how is that message so convoluted in the church? Somebody help me out here.
It doesn't bring people into the pews, brother. Truth is hate to those who hate truth. And we were all once enemies of Christ, you know, doomed in our destruction. But it was his mercy that opened our eyes by his grace. And brother, that I'll say this, that was one of the things Chris said down there. Listen, this is mercy ministry stuff going down, doing what everybody's doing and what, you know, coach and the team is about to do down there. That's mercy ministry. People are going to love you and pat you on the back. Go to the nearest abortion clinic, preach the message, and they're going to want to beat you in the head.
Amen, buddy. Amen. Hey, guys, it's like this. I try to get these analogies to understand. Do you ever go to the dog pound and get a dog? You walk in there and you look at them, and you love them all. You love them all. So, man, which one you want to take home? And sometimes you get an argument over which one you go take home. Then you see this little puppy over the corner, and your heart's drawn towards that little puppy. You take him home, he becomes your puppy. You love all the dogs, but not like you love the one that's come into your family. Don't you? Come on, this isn't hard, folks. This isn't hard. So when we go out and we hit the streets, we love to tell buddy, Jesus loves you, brother. Well, okay. But what does that mean? What does that mean that Jesus loves you? Because see, one of the things that's blocking people coming to Christ, I think, is they already know Jesus loves them. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Hey, Coach, okay. Add in here.
Sure. I just want to lay that on the table. We're going to move off this, but I want to lay that on the table so you don't think I'm nuts. Go ahead, John. Go ahead. Was that John? I thought it was John. Was that you, John? Josh, I'm sorry. Oh. Go ahead, Josh. I'm sorry, Josh. Didn't have my glasses on.
No problem. I just wanted to add in there, the Bible says that God doesn't change. But when you look in the Old Testament, he sent Joshua out to basically wipe out entire nations. If God really loved everybody, why would he do such a thing? He had Joshua kill the women, the men, the children, not to take the loot.
Amen. So go with me to John 3, okay? Go with me to John 3. I got to hammer the nail here. Welcome, by the way, Josh. Your first time in here?
Yeah, today's my anniversary, so I had off, so I was able to join in.
Awesome. Where are you, Josh?
I live up in Maryland.
Josh, we love young guys, man. We love young men of God. So welcome here, buddy.
Well, thanks.
Thanks for joining us. Your 2 cents is always worth 2 cents here. Go to. Did I say John 3? Is that what I said, Jared? Hey, Jared, God so loved the world. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world, the kingdom of the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And then, Jared, go to the very last verse. Folks, come on now. Let's read our Bible. Let's think as we read it, okay? Okay, here we go. Verse 35. For the Father loveth the Son, and he's given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. There's one group of people. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Can it be any more clear? Some come under the love of God and some come under the wrath of God. Some do. God loves everybody, but not in the same way. God's love is available. All right, I want to move on. Anybody want to jump in here real quickly?
I sure do, brother, because you know, when you go back up into that John 3:16, 3:17, there is not a period. There's a comma, and it says, but. You said people already know that Jesus loves them, for God so loved the world. But men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil.
Wow, huh? So I just wanted to justify for all you email people that keep sending me, dude, your theology is askew, okay? Your theology is askew. Now, we're going to go down to Texas. I wish I had Chris Keys on here because when they were, Dale, you can probably attest to this, when they were down there feeding all those people in the parking lot, and then they got this preached to 1,500 of them in the Walmart parking lot, I bet they didn't all love them. I bet they loved them when they were feeding them. I bet they didn't love them when they were preaching to them.
Well, let me give you an update on that, brother, because you know Chris Keys, he's also cut from the same loincloth. He's not out there saying Jesus loves you. He's out there with the message. You need to repent. And, brother, he says, we have had hecklers there. He says, unfortunately, most people are receiving the message. He said, oh, no. He said, but we got some people out there. And he says, but now, he says, we got some of the locals who know the locals, and they're out there. Listen, they're having to protect them because of the hecklers hating that message. Why? Because the deeds were evil, and they love darkness rather than light.
Jesus,
so, yeah, he's preaching the message.
Jesus loves you, brother.
Hey, Coach.
Come on, man. Yeah.
One key to what you're speaking about, maybe this touch base for those listening, is the love of God, as you explained it, was a great explanation. But the way that it gets told to, quote, the world, is where the message has been getting goofed up for too many decades. And here's the bottom line of it. The bottom line is Jesus' blood on the cross is the price that was paid, the price that was paid for the sins of the world.
Bail money.
Those who have not come into the family of God, the sins they commit has to be paid for. That's what Jesus did. Once you are in the family of God, Jesus spent a lot of time teaching about there's a different way to handle sin of those who are in the family. And in fact, he's taught so much time preaching about it and talking to his disciples about it that he had us remind ourselves daily in our prayer life that our sins no longer have to be paid for, they have to be forgiven. And that in order for our sins to be forgiven, Jesus was so very clear. He said, if you do not, he's talking to his disciples now, if you do not forgive the sins of your brothers against you, your Father in heaven will not forgive you your sins. It's not hard. It's right there, black and white. It's a very simple concept. See, God gets to write the rule book. He wrote the rule book that sins of the world had to be paid for. Amen. Sins of the children in his family have to be forgiven. And he wrote the rules of the provisions and the circumstances by which those sins are forgiven. I didn't make this up. I didn't write this rule. It's right there in the pages of the Bible. Read it.
Revelation 20, Jared. Revelation 20. While I'm on this horse, I'm going to ride it. Anybody else want to jump in? before I ride this horse. I don't want to ride him into the ground.
You know, go ahead, brother. But, you know, people say God's love is unconditional. I say contraire. He says, too, if you love me, there's a condition. If you love me, you'll keep my commands. There's a condition to God's love. It's not unconditional.
Absolutely right.
And there's only one God, brother. There's only one God, see? That's the first commandment. We can't even get that one right.
Amen.
Let's go to 11, Jared. 11. Come on now. Jesus loves everybody, right? Jesus loves everybody. And I saw a great white throne. And him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Who? Huh? Who was there no place for? And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the book of those things which were written in the books according to their works. They were judged out of what they did. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to what he'd done, his works. Death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So maybe Joel Osteen's right. Maybe for a lot of people, it is their best life now. Maybe it is. But if you cannot see that there are those who have the favor of God at the end and those who don't have the favor of God at the end, I don't know what to tell you. As Larry said, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ paid the fine. Your bill has been paid. Your death, your sin bill has been paid. If you haven't received Jesus, your sin bill stands. And God is righteous, and he will not allow you to come into his kingdom with a bill that hasn't been paid.
Coach, you almost got it. The sin bill of the sins you committed before you came into the family of God has been paid. There is no sin bill after you come into the family of God. There's a requirement that you do what the writer of the book said to get your sins at that point forgiven. They're no longer paid for. They are forgiven once you're in the family of God. They're paid for before you come into the family of God, and only Jesus can make that payment.
I don't think I missed it too bad then, huh? That's about as clear as we can make it, isn't it, boys? Why do we go around telling people Jesus loves them? Why do we do that?
Here, brother, why don't you just go down into chapter 21 and go to verse 7 and 8, it says, he who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But for the cowardly and the unbelieving, two different people. There's unbelievers, but the first one that he lines up is the cowardly. Who are the cowardly?
Cowards go first, brother.
They're not the unbelievers. They're not the unbelievers because it says the cowardly and the unbelieving.
Wow.
So they're two different.
Do you see that, folks? But the fearful, cowardly, there's one group of people, and then here comes another group of people, the unbelieving. They're not the same.
Who are the cowardly?
They're believers.
We want to just say Jesus loves you. Why? Because I don't want you to be mad at me. I'm afraid you might reject me, and I don't want you to reject my message, right?
Yeah. Fearful, man. Cowards go first, baby. Cowards go first. Wow. Say, Coach, this is awesome. You don't have to say it. I know it is. It is the truth. How have we so misunderstood this very simple, basic, bottom ground, foundational truth? How have we missed it? But we have, right? Little leaven leaveneth the whole loaf, doesn't it? So I'm confident. I'm confident what I've been sharing with you, fellas. Confident with it. It doesn't even make sense. And I love, by the way, I love my dog better than my neighbor's dog. I love all dogs, but I love my neighbor. I love my dog better than my neighbor's dog. Makes sense? It sure does.
The American church had been led by false shepherds. They're not true shepherds of God's word.
Well, yeah, I agree. Some of them, John, are out of ignorance, I would think.
I agree.
Some of them have been given a false doctrine and a false belief system. Some of it is, but where I come from watching Dragnet long time ago, ignorance of the law is no excuse. I can't stand before the Lord and say I didn't know. Now, the Lord may say to me, hey, coach, how come you didn't tell him? That's a different story, isn't it? But I can't say that I didn't know that. I didn't know the speed limit was 25 here. How many times has that gotten you off, bud? Hey, fellas? Hey, I didn't know that. I didn't know the speed dropped down to 20 here. Oh, okay, well, you're off then. Oh, I didn't know murder was against the law. Oh, okay, well, then you can go free. Stealing? I didn't know I couldn't steal. Okay, well, okay, drop the case. Come on, man. Come on, man. Okay, let's move on here. Big story coming up here. Jared, click on the very first one. Hey, Sarge, I know I've banged you over the head with this about six times. I'm sorry to do that. We have got to get this to our Salt and Light Brigade prayer team. Today, Governor Matt Bevin is in court trying to close the last abortion clinic in Kentucky. The nation is watching, according to this article. The nation is watching because today this case hits federal court. This is why we need to get a hold of our Salt and Light Brigade prayer force and get them at work closing this thing down. Now, here's about a 2 minute and 30 second segment that was on the local news down in Louisville. Jared, go ahead and play that video, if you will. Folks, time out, man. We could end abortion right now. We have the ability to do that. We'll say, coach, how can you say that? Because I know this. You believe prayer works, don't you? You folks out there believe prayer works? Pulling down principalities, kingdoms, principalities, right? Do you believe that? Think abortion's a principality? You think abortion's a high place? And the weapons of our warfare aren't carnal, but what? Mighty for what? We're pulling these things down. And I wonder if we were to ask ourselves right now, how many Christians in America today are all strategically praying that this kingdom will come down? And I would say probably not very many. We're praying for the victims down in, the unsaved victims down in Texas. And we have the opportunity right now to end abortion in Kentucky, which will start a domino effect all across this nation.
Coach?
Yes.
I just got hit by a 2x4 by the Holy Spirit.
All right.
There's been a lot of actually believing and true Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, who've been praying for abortion clinics to be closed and things like that for a lot of years. Who actually, and those Christians also believe that God answers prayer. But there's been a problem in that whole situation from around the country. And that is, in the minds and hearts of too many of those people, they want the abortion clinic to close down, but they still want the opportunity to be there for certain exceptions to murdering little babies.
Yeah, they do.
All of those thoughts, all of those beliefs in people's lives that this exception, well, you know, God will see it, but God will be all right with that little baby being killed. See, there's too many differences there. There's no agreement. There is no, may I say the word, unity.
Larry, if I understand what you're saying, in the eyes of the Lord, since the Lord is no respecter of persons, a born mother with three children, her life is no more valuable than that unborn baby in the womb. Would everybody agree with me on that? In the eyes of God, both lives carry equal value.
Yes. What I'm saying is, if we want, you're right. You're absolutely right on that aspect, and I love that aspect. But what I'm saying is this: instead of all of these people praying the abortion clinics be closed down, pray that God's will be done and we'll all be in total agreement, not 99% agreement. As long as we have these, some of these people, some of us who are praying, who are brothers and sisters in Christ, by the way, but they have these little exemptions. They have these little, in this case, in that case, they have that in their minds and their spirit as they pray toward God. And they try to tell God in their prayers how they want their form of closing to happen, how they want their plan to come about. But let me tell you what, if we would all come into agreement and ask for his plan to be the one that manifests itself, then there would be no disagreement if we all truly put our faith in him and his plan. It's so much easier to have unity when you do it God's way.
Coach?
Amen. Yes.
Coach, I believe the greatest prayer to end this in Kentucky was those people who sat in front of that door.
Yes, sir. Chris Keys.
Yeah.
Chris Keys. Rescued babies at the abortion clinic and is rescuing people down in Houston.
That was a living prayer by sitting down there risking to go to jail.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
You know, here we got to caution ourselves, Coach, and that is many Christians will say, well, God, will you close that, Lord, close that abortion clinic. I want to tell you something. You might want to be careful about telling God to close an abortion clinic because God gets pretty heavy handed about how he does stuff. He sends storms like Katrina to shut down all the abortion clinics in New Orleans. And when Beaumont, Texas posted, if you were living in New Orleans and you were going to have an abortion, if you come to Beaumont, we'll do your abortion for free. And Rita bullseyed and closed down all the clinics in Beaumont, Texas that week. I'm telling you, bro, this is prophetic. This came from Bill Shanks. And then the Southern Decadence was supposed to happen August 29th. And that's what we were having, a 2,000 man march through the city of New Orleans. And the Florida Keys, the homosexuals down there, said, let's have a big drag queen march because the Southern Decadence got shut down in there. And Wilma put 4 feet of water in the Southern Keys. Look, this thing about closing down abortion clinics, brother, what Chris Keys did and what you do and what I do and my church represents out in front of that clinic 3 days a week. The fact of the matter is that God wants us to go, just like we have this compassion to go down there and rescue these people who are perishing and their homes are devastated. Look, if you can't go, I think Coach would agree with me and concur, then you should pray and maybe go out in front of a clinic and rescue babies.
Amen, brother. Amen. Yeah, Lord, pray that the Lord would move on the heart of the church to go out and end that abortion. Hey, let's go ahead and play this real quick. It's about 2.5 minutes. It's very informative.
Kentucky may become the first state in the nation without an abortion clinic. WDRB's Gilbert Corsi explains the legal showdown this week, bringing pro-life and pro-choice to a head.
This is the lawsuit heading to trial Wednesday here at the federal courthouse in downtown Louisville. It's Kentucky's last abortion clinic in a licensing fight with the state, with its very survival on the line.
Is it worth your soul?
Protest. And counter-protest.
Abortion is murder, and it's hidden.
Arrest and unrest.
It's still legal. It's still health care. It is still a right to every woman in this state.
2017 put Louisville in the epicenter of the abortion debate, and this week that fight hits federal court. EMW Women's Surgical Center, Kentucky's last abortion clinic, is fighting to stay open.
This is a personal decision, and it's not for anyone other than the individual accessing it to have an opinion on it.
Liar!
Earlier this year, the Cabinet for Health and Family Services tried to revoke EMW's license over the terms of the surgical center's transfer agreements with ambulance companies and hospitals, terms that previously went unchallenged.
This is a matter of the woman's health. Should the state of Kentucky, should the administration have the right to ask for these transfer agreements to a hospital where a woman who might be in an emergency situation's life can be saved.
This same issue stopped abortions here at this Planned Parenthood clinic in Louisville in 2016. So Planned Parenthood has joined the EMW case. Together, they say the Bevin administration is basically trying to regulate all abortion clinics out of Kentucky.
We're going to bring the absolute full legal authority of the Commonwealth down on them, the likes of which they have not seen.
Kentucky's governor makes his anti-abortion stance no secret. The Commonwealth is only a handful of states with one remaining clinic.
But at the end of the day, people have already made up their minds.
Pro-life and pro-choice eyes nationwide are watching this case. The judge deciding, is it better protection for women or a barrier to a woman's right to choose? The outcome could set precedent for the country. Tuesday, some members of a pro-choice group planned a rally here on the steps of the federal courthouse in downtown Louisville at 7 p.m. Again, the trial starts on Wednesday morning. We will be in the courtroom and bring you any updates on any developments as they happen. For now in downtown Louisville, Gilbert Corsi, WDRB News.
Sarge, this is essential, man. We got to get this out to the brigade. We got to get a hold of Heidi Begley. We got to get people praying for this thing. That God's will be done, and God's will is that all would be saved, right? We all agree with that. That would be God's will.
I'm doing it.
Okay, brother. Listen, I know you don't think I'm crazy. Okay, I want to connect something else to you here, also as well. Irma's coming, boys. Irma, I-R-M-A. I don't know if you know this or not. It says right here. And Irma is a German name meaning, are you ready? War goddess. Irma is war goddess. Now, we can laugh all we want to and say that these things are not the judgment of God. We could just say it's the natural consequences of weather and life, global warming. They can say whatever they want to. But you know this? You know, Hurricane John, just before Katrina hit, a year before Katrina hit, Hurricane John looked like it was going to go to New Orleans. That's when I first became aware that New Orleans was in a bowl and that it was below sea level because of Hurricane John. And everybody prayed that Hurricane John would would bypass New Orleans, and it did. And John means God is merciful. Did you know that? And did you know that when Hurricane Katrina came, did you know that Katrina means cleansing? And did you know that New Orleans, sorry, Dale, is the cesspool. It is the septic tank of America. Everything flows from the north to the south, the Ohio River, excuse me, into the Mississippi River, into the Gulf of Mexico, and is flushed out in New Orleans. Cleansing. Katrina came on the eve of Southern decadence and some other things. And so now we see what has happened here with Harvey. And we don't know what the Lord's doing, but he's packing another whammy coming, whether it materializes or not. How many warnings do people need to get it? Now, Jared, I've got another little 5-minute clip there. It's a YouTube video that I found this morning, I'm sorry. Let me get back to my stuff here. It says, where is it? Irma. Watch this, folks.
12:45 Mountain Time, 2017. Hurricane Irma updates. Got some new spaghetti models, some new wave heights, and a possible, which we hope it doesn't happen, nightmare scenario if this thing were to turn into the Miami area that's already dealing with sea level rises along the coast. This would not be good. Historically, there have been hurricanes go into the Miami area, but not recently. And especially hurricanes of this magnitude. This thing is already a Category 3, and it is well out into the Atlantic Ocean, into areas that the water temperature is only like 84 degrees out here. Look at that. 84.6. As it moves forward, it's only going to get warmer. 85. 86. Over here where Hurricane Harvey just devastated southeast Texas, the waters were 83. I think in some places maybe 84, but according to this, this is null school. This is what I use to monitor Harvey. These waters are a little warmer over here. So this is predicted to be a Category 4, could be a Category 5, gets up here into these warmer waters. There's 86.7. If it were to take a turn to the left, that's 88 degrees. If it went to Miami, there would be an absolute nightmare scenario unfold, especially with the type of waves I'm about to show you. Look at this. These are new numbers for the 7th, when this is just north and to the east of Puerto Rico. 56 feet, 56.5, near the eye wall. That's wave height. 56 feet, 5 inches. That is a crazy strong storm. Now, granted, that won't be a 56-foot wave when it makes landfall. If it makes landfall, right now we really don't know 100% sure. Some models are saying, yes, it's going to make landfall. But a lot can change between now and then. But right now, this number is accurate. The storm comes into this area at a certain strength, 56-foot wave near the center. Now, if that were to continue, say, into Miami, it would probably bring in a 20-foot storm surge, which would devastate that area. They're already dealing with water, inland water issues during heavy thunderstorms. Then you have thousands of people in high-rises, and all of this area, you know, could potentially flood with no power. I mean, come on, that would be a terrible situation. So hopefully, you know, this won't turn into anything like that. But I'm just saying, there is a possibility. And I'm going to show you the last updated model that I've got of where this thing could potentially go. As a Category 5. Here we go. I'm going to step it one day at a time. Here's the 5th. Here's the 6th. Here's the 7th, where those waves that I just showed you were 56 foot tall near the center of rotation with wind speeds of 163 miles per hour. That's a Category 5. Here's the 8th. 9th. Look how close that is. Miami sits right there. Wouldn't take much. 10th. Right off the coast of Florida. That eyewall's 100 miles off the shore. At 172 mile per hour winds near the eyewall, it's a Category 5. And then we'll step it forward like 3 hours at a time. And the landfall that this model is showing, and again, it's subject to change, but it is showing a landfall of pretty much where the total eclipse path exited South Carolina. Check it out. Right in here.
Okay, Jared. Oh, Jared, geez, you're grinning.
Hey, Coach, real quick update, because I got my local news on, and of course, being in New Orleans, we have a, you know, an always every 2 hour updates on these things. Sure. It is now a Category 5. They are predicting this thing, before it makes the turn, it's going to go through the Florida Keys and into the Gulf, but back up through Tampa, through Florida Keys, and then up through Georgia with the potential of 100. It's already, they just announced it is already a Category 5.
God has more disaster than the federal government has relief.
And got that on the back of the trailer.
Guys, you do know this, don't you? They're not even talking about unbelievable wildfires out in Montana right now. Unprecedented wildfires in Montana. And we see unprecedented clusters of earthquakes throughout the Yellowstone National Park area around the world. I ain't predicting nothing, and I'm not saying, oh boy, let's cover our heads. But man, oh man, oh man. Jesus said you can sit on your back porch and see the storm clouds building, know it's going to rain, or you can feel the warm breeze and know it's going to be a sunny day. Says, you hypocrites, why is it that you cannot discern the signs of the times? Hey, boys, we need to get out there and warn the wicked. We don't need to go tell them how much Jesus loves them. We need to let them know that apart from Christ, the wrath of God is abiding on them, folks. The wrath of God. This is not going to be their best life now. this ain't going to be their best day. I can promise you that. And so those of us who are nestled under the wings of the Most High, the rain will fall on us. It'll fall on the just and the unjust. And we just have to pray strategically that the Lord will have us where he wants us to be, when he wants us to be, with the ability to work through us and do what it is that he wants to do. Man, oh man,
amen.
What a time to be alive. Let's not let a disaster go to waste.
Amen.
God bless you, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.